Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Stupid Horse, and oh boy, a very large plate of mozzarella sticks. And with me I have...
My witty info spent all night waiting out in New Jersey rain for a ride home from MetLife Stadium. He didn't get back until 5 in the morning.
And...
Where's my thick-ass milkshake?
Well, unfortunately, that's not going to happen anytime soon, since I think Cannonwolf destroyed Esther's.
Oh,
I mean, unless they serve the shakes at Esther's, too.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
And, you know, the beer god man doesn't get in your way.
Yeah, good show.
Yeah, good show. I want to see who that was over there. It's like, oh yeah, that's Reginald Bell Johnson, a.k.a. Carl Winslow. Because I figured that has to be him, because that's all his name in the credits. I'm like, no, that had to be him. Anybody else sound like him?
No, there is not.
You also have the dude on top, on like, who's the dude that's with him? I think that's Drum. If I recognize his voice.
Yeah. They got a whole bunch of fine people there. Drum, Vince Staples, Big E, and, tip of my tongue, I can't think of it. I'll come back to it.
All right, then. Anyway, episode 124. How's everything been going with y'all lately?
So far, so good. I've got a job interview tomorrow, or yesterday, depending on when you're listening to this, so crossing my fingers I'll land it, because I need to get back to work. I need money. Lots and lots of money.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
But thankfully, that's going to come after I spent quite a weekend gorging myself in some fine professional wrestling action, 3 days worth, with three fine events that were varying degrees of good.
And apparently some unplanned distractions courtesy of some assholes.
Yeah, some asshole tried to jump Bret Hart at the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony and got not only dogpiled by about 10 very strong wrestlers, got punched in the mouth by one of them on the way backstage, where he was sent to, well, jail, where he still is right now.
Ooh. Yeah, never plan.
I don't want to make a joke about mental illness, but some people really need to get checked in.
You know, Dude, if you were looking to kill yourself, there's probably cheaper ways of doing so. You know, more so than trying to jump a professional wrestler during a Hall of Fame ceremony.
Where a bunch of other professional wrestlers will beat your ass. Because, that's what you don't want to do.
Yeah, but aside from that, good events all around, even though WrestleMania did go until fucking 12:30 in the morning. What the fuck?
Yeah, that seems a wee bit excessive.
Yeah, and it was doubly bad for the people there in the Meadowlands in New Jersey, because the trains to get out of New Jersey to New York shut down. And there were thousands of people out in the rain, because it was raining in the middle of the night, up until 3 a.m., trying to get a train or a bus or an Uber or anything to get the hell out, because a lot of people flew into New York for the whole weekend. Nobody wants to be there for 8 hours, goddammit.
This is sounding a lot like the Ultra situation. Except minus a weird Colonel Sanders performance.
Kind of, but this was just a case where they had 16 matches spread across 7 hours. That's too much, people.
Jesus, that's basically like an entire tournament arc in a bog standard shonen anime. Jesus.
Yeah. But thankfully, everybody went home mostly satisfied. Especially for people like me who stayed home watching it, because that meant I get to sleep in my own bed and not have to deal with rain or traffic or New Jersey.
Nice. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
I finally got two new tires for my car, which they were needed. They're needed because I had to change right away because I don't feel like having another incident. So that's all good. And also I've been wondering at my Walmart, why get my tires changed? And wondering, kind of an obvious observation, but not that surprising. Wow, the anime selection at Walmart is kind of small, which ain't that surprising. And wow, she tells us that I want to get, but can't cause money. Because I saw my Heritage Day movie in there. I saw motherfuckers in there. I want to get
the Blu-ray of that too, man. Or DVD, whichever.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, and speaking
of... Give us money, people.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of movies, what movie I heard interesting thing about came on Hulu, which is, If Bell Street Could Talk. And I have to say, that should have gotten the Best Picture nomination. That movie is too damn good.
Literally anything other than Green Book should have gotten it.
Yes. Everything except that and Bohemian Rhapsody. You know what I mean? That movie is real good. And Regina King, yes, she earned that Oscar nom and win.
I was almost kind of having my fingers crossed during the actual broadcast ceremony that they would do what they did with the last time Barry Jenkins won Best Picture. That is a Barry Jenkins movie, right? Same guy that did Moonlight?
Yes, it is. Same guy.
I was kind of hoping there would be another mix-up, like, please, anything else. But good things can't happen twice, I suppose.
Yeah.
And as for me, well, I got my hands on a couple new games. Got myself Resident Evil 2 Remake and Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon. You know, been playing through the Luigi's Mansion one since I never touched one of those games before. Also, I got the Platinum Trophy in Kingdom Hearts 3, so now I can put that game around, well, put it down, until the friggin' Hannah Montana DLC comes out. Thank God.
Okay.
And then, of course, there was the actual important thing. Played the last show that my band is playing for a while, our album release show, and our last one with our current guitarist, because financial issues are preventing her from continued involvement, so... Farewell to her, she shall be missed. But she'll probably be back. Maybe good fortune will come her way. I always hope for the best. So, yeah, that is all behind us. So, now, with all those formalities out of the way, let's move on to the new song discussions for the past week. As always, there will be a link down in the description, so you can follow along with us and understand what it is exactly that we're talking about. So to start things off, let's actually keep things a bit within the local scene of my neck of the swamp for a second. So a long time ago, in the magical realm of like 4 years ago, there was a band. They were called Abiotic. They were actually quite popular in the local scene and eventually got so big that they were picked up by Metal Blade Records. They released 2 albums and then completely disappeared. There was even a lineup change at one point. The original vocalist left, started a different project with a buddy of mine. So, yeah, Abiotic is now back, apparently. They released their first new song in 4 years. It's a track called Emerald, and yeah, this definitely sounds like some Abiotic, alright. You know, massive drum grooves with the fast-pounding toms and shit, the chunky riffs, the gnarly vocals, the blast beats and everything. It kind of sounds a lot like a modernized version of, like, the Job for a Cowboy material from back when MySpace was culturally relevant. Like, there's just kind of this modernized MySpace deathcore aesthetic to the whole thing. Right down to, like, you know, the spoken word bridges, the bomb blasts, and the drums. I'll give it this, at least the production doesn't sound like total crap like their past, like their debut did, where it was just fucking obnoxiously brick wall of noise, but... I don't know, man. I care not for this much in the slightest.
Yeah, musically, for me, it's alright. But within the greater context of what they're trying to get across, this is several kinds of dark and emotional, and the music more than fits that mood. It's just, for me, kind of not my thing. Kind of doing the Crash Thompson face right now with the hand gesture, kind of not my thing.
And now, an entire minute of puppies. Wait, what's that? We don't have the budget for puppies? What the hell did we spend it all on then? Oh, that's right. I got really drunk and bought stupid shit on Amazon.
Again?
Look. It's not my fault that Mark keeps breaking into my house, stealing all my Baja Blast, leaving me only with the vodka and whiskey to drink, okay? Maybe if you would stop doing that, I would have beverages that wouldn't get me shit-faced.
Well, I had your house that night because, I don't know, because something should happen, I don't know, around Saturday night, Sunday
Look,
morning.
The SAO fanboys are not going to find you in my house. They wouldn't dare step foot in Florida, okay?
I can't prepare anyway. I got the pistol. I got the pistol, the chopper, everything. I got all that shit.
Oh, well, you'll fit right in. Trust me, Florida is basically like a really ghetto version of Einkrad.
It's something.
Scene.
Yeah. That's something better than anime.
But anyway, let's move on from that tangent to apparently we got another Lucy track here from Schoolboy Q, which I actually had to listen to about like 5 minutes before we started recording this because the link just disappeared and then suddenly it reappeared on the internets for reasons.
I can explain that. You see, he could have dropped it last week. Well, last week because he delayed it mainly due to the the tragic death of Nipsey Hussle, which he told he ain't putting nothing out that week because like all that shit happened. So yeah, there's that. But now, rest in peace. But now today, the 8th, as in the time of this fucking thing. Yeah, he released another track. This time along with Travis Scott, which is titled Chopsticks. And another fun fact, Kendrick Lamar is credited as a composer and lyricist on the song. And getting used to it, I have to say, this feels like a Travis Scott record, to be honest. Like, most of the production just feel like I would hear something like that from Outer World. I mean, the song, I'm not head over heels. It's very mid, to be honest. Some of the Dutch's eye. I mean, I don't know. Like, it didn't hit me like the last joint did. Schoolboy did okay, and then I like what he said, and I think Travis just did the hook because I didn't really pay attention to much about Travis, at least on here. But yeah, it's kind of very,
Yep, this definitely sounds like a Travis Scott hook, sing-songy, laden with autotune, and there's some Schoolboy Q bars in there, I guess.
But like I said, who knows at least when the album will drop out, or whatever Travis Scott does, considering how Travis Scott's going to do something else with another TDE affiliate and a Canadian singer that's not Drake. Something related to, I don't know, some show on HBO that's coming, that's having its final season, and apparently they're doing a song of it. Well, a song with it. Wink, wink, stay tuned.
Oh. Okay, then. Anyway, let's move on from that to more JPEG Mafia. This time, as far as Lucy's, he's brought something that was apparently a leftover from the recording sessions for Veteran. It's a track called The Hue. Okay, then. And it features vocals from someone named Ayaz. I think that's how it's pronounced. But yeah, this definitely sounds like something left from the Veteran sessions. While it has this kind of, again, almost like the Schoolboy Q song, there's this floaty, synthy kind of R&B vibe. Although it feels more kind of pseudo-vaporwave-ish than, basic R&B trap shit. This one still has that unique JPEG sensibility, by which I mean the song does frequently punch you in the ear with random video game samples, like the sound of the Duck Hunt dog laughing at you, or, "Hey, listen! Nice to see you again, Navi."
Oh yeah, I didn't notice that too.
So, yeah, you definitely got that in there with, you know, just JPEG kind of flowing along with the serene vibe of everything. It's okay. I can see why it didn't make the full album, though.
Yeah, no, yeah, I do see that. It is very, you know, calming and soothing. And I like the statement where he says, there's an innocent to it that I hopefully is labeled to people. And he said, I made the beat naked. Okay.
Well, I mean... I don't know, maybe the air conditioning wasn't working in his apartment that day. Who knows? It's always a possibility. Anyway, let's move on from that to this past week's entry in the Adult Swim Singles Program. This one coming courtesy of the group Broken Social Scene, and it is a track called Big Couches. I believe it's expected to appear on a new EP of theirs that's actually coming out this Friday. We'll get to the name of that, you know, when that part's appropriate. But for this track, and again, keep in mind, I only know the band by name only. It's certainly soothing enough to listen to. There's kind of this light bounce of the drums with this kind of mild D-beat in there, intermixed with these very interestingly produced tom fills that, you know, kind of pan across, you know, kind of right to left across the audio mix. There's a pleasing ambiance to how the guitars float across the mix. Synths and acoustic guitars kind of building on top of that with the auto-tune vocals, which, you know, that's the one of the parts I didn't like of the song, though. Like, the auto-tune sounded very, like, not fully put together. Like, the voice was beyond auto-tuning, I guess. And but the actual mix is pretty pleasantly dynamic and enjoyable. I kind of have to point out that there's these weird, like, blares of almost kind of like ska-style, you know, trumpets and horns and whatnot. It's a really weird element that, like, just kind of brick walls in contrast hard against the generally pleasing vibe of the more post-rock instrumentation. I don't know, but I guess if this is more your thing, then go for it. I don't really know fully how to judge this, given that I don't know the band that much.
I did not really like this that much. I didn't like the auto-tune at all, and this just sounds like it comes from the same indie folk rock pit that so many bands came out of, like Arcade Fire, or, as I was unfortunately reminded to earlier today when I was out doing some shopping, y'all remember the band of Monsters and Men and that one song they have?
I don't know.
The one that goes, so the children as well carry on. That fucking song.
Oh,
I think that. I might have been thankful enough to avoid it.
I hate that fucking song so much. It's up there with some of my other pet peeves in music, like synthetic drums and Oasis. It's terrible. This, not as terrible, but I still really didn't like it that much.
Okay, then. We're learning things today. So now that that's out of the way, time to go to the next song, where we catch up with Mr. Anderson .Paak one more time before his next album finally hits this Friday.
Yes, it's going to us today. It is called Make It Better, which features the vocals of one Smokey Robinson. And I gotta say, once again, it's very smooth, funky, more R&B sounding. It's, like I said, this is definitely the, well, thing more, I think it's virtually more the R&B soul territory more than Oxstart is. And the thing with something, it's like a plea, you know, how to make romance work, like, see, you know, the Hansel's relationship and hope it ends on, you know, ends on a better note, not just ends, you know, on like, oh, no, broke it up, but we're still cool, right? Like, sort of that shit. Like, something's very smooth, very soulful. It's, you know, it's what you expect, Anderson .Paak. And while I tried to text Smokey Robinson in some of it, even though I kind of should have looked up lyrics first, although I didn't do it, but yeah, this song's pretty smooth. I go with this.
What sticks out to me is the simple fact that there's very little of that Anderson .Paak sarcasm in here. Like, I think even when on something like, say, No Worries, which was all smooth R&B vibes, there was still a little bit of, like, a snarky edge to it. But here, the lyrics are played completely straight and sincere as he's trying to, like, I guess fix this relationship of his that's, like, gone completely south, or trying to rekindle something that he once had. It's a smooth fling, very much. All soulful and, you know, romantic. It's a song you can make love to. And now to talk about a song that, according to the URL here, rips off heads and shits down throats.
Oh,
wow, damn. Talk about a mood change.
Yeah.
All right, so, not this week, but the Friday after, it looks like Sumerian will be dropping the newest album from the band After the Burial, called Evergreen, which I assume has no relation to The Simpsons. And so we got this new single here called Exit Exist, which, man, that title's a tongue twister. I have an easier time trying to say Rest Repose. So, yeah, After the Burial, one of those bands I think I'm familiar with. Maybe I've heard them a couple times, but I kind of have to keep reminding myself that they're a thing. They kind of occupy the same sort of space in my musical memory as Veil of Maya in that regard, I guess. So, you know, listening to this song, okay, it sounds like what I'd expect from a Sumerian core kind of band. The drum grooves are pretty banging and huge. The guitar chugs are thick and furious. There's a lot of heaviness in the vocals. There's a lot of these weird time signature switch-ups, especially in the bridges, especially as the groove still maintains. But admittingly, what bugs me is that, and I guess you could call this, I guess my equivalent of the problem with some, like, of these modern bands of this ilk, is that the production feels bizarrely razor thin. Like, you notice it especially in the guitars. Like, when the guitars are chugging full chords, it sounds fine. But then you notice, like, when it does a lot of, like, the note bends and everything, the lack of more body in the mix just stands out that much more and kind of works against what I think they were trying to go for. Hell, this also applies to, like, when the guitars try to play, like, actual melodies and they just kind of get, like, drowned out by everything else. It's just, you know, I want to like it more than I do, but there's just a lot of nagging stuff that's kind of getting in the way of that.
Yeah, I'll get the massive out of the way as well. I also didn't like how the guitars and the drums sounded. There's barely any low end, and the drums sound a bit too dry for me. It kind of sounds like I'm hearing a Jaredine solo track in that regard. Like, it's got good riffs, but the production is just very, very too simplified. You need some oomph to it. Otherwise, it just sounds like it's drawn on a pencil. The good part is, the song is pretty catchy with some excellent riff hooks along the way. So, yeah, I'll keep an ear out for what these guys have to offer in the next couple of weeks.
Hopefully it'll be better than what Born of Osiris gave us back at the beginning of 2019. Come on, Sumerian, you gotta give us one victory here, come on. Anyway, moving on from that, so looking out to May 10th, where Mac DeMarco, Gogagi, is dropping his latest album, Here Comes the Cowboy, we got another track here from him called All of Our Yesterdays, and this one does not have a lizard man in a cowboy hat. Fortunately, that means it kind of doesn't leave us anything to talk about, because it sounds every bit like the other track, you know. It drifts along at a slow pace, acoustic, you know, melodies and chords and a soft-spoken vocal passage. I have no strong reaction to this. Can someone give him some hot wings, please? You know, so we got something to work with here.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, listen to this track many times. I go, yeah, this sounds the same as the last track he did, except at least I like that last track better than this. I mean, it's not a bad track, it's just really doesn't leave much to go on with. And reading this says that this might irk Alex a bit. It says this is an attempt to write an Oasis song.
Ew.
And I don't know shit about Oasis. I mean, I know you're doing about them. It's like, okay, I don't feel much about this song. It's like, it sounds like you copy paste nobody and then ask for things like that. Like they could totally go like that shit. We're like,
yeah,
tuning in and out. Like, okay, but here's a smiley face just staring at you and changes colors for some reason,
which may or may not be as creepy as the lizard cowboy man. We have our crack team of scientists working on that.
I mean, the Metal Muppet got some meme consulted or something like that, or I don't know.
Oh yeah, I never found out if that panned out. Like, and yeah, specifically, if I recall correctly, he was looking for like a dank memester to like head up the Mac DeMarco fan club. Shit, that was one, 2 years ago.
Oh yeah, thank you. Yeah,
yeah, I think that was 2 years ago. I sold out hard by memeing the shit out of that episode thumbnail. I have no shame. Anyway, now to move on to our last song here. Another May 10th release. And a song that's actually a perfect example of how you can make songs that sound similar to your other songs, while at least making them actually interesting on their own. Mr. Tim Hecker, dropping Anoyo that week, which as we all know was the companion piece to last year's Konoyo. And the track here is called You Never Were. Which I keep wanting to say as You Were Never Really Here, that I think it was a Joaquin Phoenix movie from last year that everyone liked. I keep getting those titles mixed up, but anyway, so yeah, this one, again, it drones a lot. I mean, that's to be expected at this point. You know, there's these sparse intervals with the plucking of what I assume is the shamisen, the droning synths, possibly also woodwind instrument in there, just consistently going along until the eventual point where the synths kind of start to crackle and buzz and kind of break apart. It definitely keeps you on edge as you're trying to vibe out. Like, you sort of get, like, caught off guard. Like, once that numbing vibe of the glitchy synths kind of sets in, then it's like the shamisen kind of catches you off guard as the metallic sheen just washes over you. And eventually the song does close out on something of, like, an actual melody that slowly develops as the last couple minutes or so go on to them. Yeah, this is good. Keep doing good things, Mr. Tim.
Yeah, I have not that much to say. Like, he pretty much said all for me. Like, it's like, right, you know him doing his thing, droning with that one weird part I hear in the middle of the song, which you know will switch up. But yeah, this is very good.
Yep, indeed.
Mm-hmm. This is everything I love about ambient noise music, all wrapped up in a nice bow. This is muy excelente, as the French would say.
Actually, I think that's the Scandinavians.
Them too.
Anyway, that about covers it for all the new song discussions. So now we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have some news topics to discuss. So stay tuned, kids. And we're back. So for our first bit of news here, let's look ahead at the currently developing, I think it's the spring season. Yeah, season of anime. Mm-hmm. There's...
Yes.
Yeah, it's slowly, you know, building up. I'm sure there's some big shows, you know, coming through the woodwork. I hear that Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba is pretty popular. We're still waiting on the nerve-wracking results of whatever JC staff is doing with One Punch Man. Mm. I don't want it to suck, please.
Same here.
And then many have said that they're just sending it out to die.
Oy vey. And then, of course, there's Carolyn Tuesday, which we won't be able to hear about for a while because Netflix!
Yeah.
And the wait is not going to be much better because they just had to say the three words that would get us even more hyped than most of us already were. So, for Carolyn Tuesday, there's been some more unveiling of information about who's lined up to actually compose the soundtrack, which is an important detail considering that this series is a full-blown musical that sought, you know, worldwide musical talent, including having, I believe, a singer from Atlanta voicing one of its title characters for the songs. But, yeah, this is, of course, a big-type deal. You know, everyone's getting in on this. Even Thomas Romine formed a new studio to work on the backgrounds for the series. And just to make the hype even bigger, as we're building up to, there was a new, you know, preview video that unveiled the artist lineup for who's going to be working on the soundtrack. And two names in particular stand out, so much so that they're stacked right next to each other on the list. Flying Lotus and Thundercat. No, you did not hear me wrong.
Okay.
Netflix, do not make us wait for fucking 6 months for this, like you did with, what was it, Ingress? Who cares about that? Do not make us wait 6 months for this!
You know, it's already like, okay, so you already have, you know, a new Watanabe series. It's a musical. You have some top-tier production talent already working on the actual, you know, it's freaking Studio Bones over here. And, you know, the studio that Romine formed, Studio No Border. See what they did there. But you just have to get, not just Fly Low, who's already delved into the anime soundtrack production game, you know, with that Blade Runner 2022 blackout short, but Mr. Thundercat as well, his bass-playing compadre from Brain Feeder. I guess singing about Tokyo actually paid off.
So, okay. I got two moods right now. Excitement and pissed off. Excitement because when you have the name Shinichiro Watanabe, Flying Lotus, Thundercat, a lot of other producers, like this one producer, Taku Takahashi, who I know he worked on Space Dandy, he was music on there.
Mm-hmm.
And all those things combined, you got me wanting this more. I want more of this. The other mood is pissed off as in, I don't know when the fuck is gonna come out. Ain't a release date of this shit. Like, I know that the other show, whatever the hell it is, got released it's coming on Netflix like the end of this month,
took 6 months for Ingress to happen.
Okay, Netflix, if you don't make us wait for this, at least release the first part of it like so in the summer, and then do half after that. But do that shit. Like, do what you did with, like, do the shit you did with Little Witch. Like, do that shit.
Worth noting, this is a 26-week series. So,
yeah.
Don't make us wait for 6 months, Netflix.
Come on, man. This is the one show I was excited for the season, and knowing the fact that I have to wait for this shit makes the season even more bleak. Considering the fact that One Punch Man 2 might let me down, but fuck, I'm already having my expectation of that, and I'm gonna be honest with you, the spring season for me has not really been up to par with me. I know people like the Fruits Basket show, which I like that, you know, there's some love going to that show, which that's good for them. But other than that, I just like really don't care about most of the shit going on there. This is like a low diet season for me. And I might wrap up like in a few days, like a few days like, after recording, I might wrap up a few days because I got like maybe one or two more to catch. Oh wait, three, Attack of Titan will come out to the 28th because they love releasing that shit. This is like a four weeks later or 2 weeks later as the 28th.
Yeah, it's like, you know, pretty much this season, the only things that caught my attention, and it's only because I'm familiar with brand names beforehand, Attack on Titan, One Punch, what was the other one? I kind of wanted to check out Fruit Basket. I know that's a hype thing. Never watched the original, so I thought that might be an interesting experience. And then, of course, maybe if I got nothing else to watch, that one Shonen Jump adaptation that no one gives a shit about because it's not Kimetsu no Yaiba. Fucking We Never Learn, that one.
Yeah.
Oh, that show.
You'll be able to hear the seasonal preview show that we do on our side next week, so stay tuned for that. But yeah, this is that. Yeah, for Carolyn Tuesday, I hate to say this, but if you're going to watch this before it's officially released, be responsible. Use torrents. Don't, you know. You know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
We all know.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
That discussion will continue over on Podcast O&A. But now it's time to just kill the mood completely dead. And I'm actually glad that Mr. Mark over here caught the link when he did, for reasons that we will explain shortly as this news piece go on. So, since you brought this to our attention, sir, you have the floor.
All right, thank you, my good sir. So, about, 18 years ago... Holy fuck, is this 18 years ago? A cult comics release around... Not yet. Comic release around that time. How High, starring the two duo that... The two duo known as Method Man and Rat Man. Who you know one from the Wu-Tang Clan, and you know them dudes always tight with each other since then. I think they're still tight now. It don't even need a movie ass. They both get into Harvard because they smoke some weed that... Method Man's friend, he died from got his head on fire and got ran from a bus and they get the answers. And of course, with them going to college, particularly Harvard, and, the dean, all this, the whole college, college going on, shit happens, all that, all that shit, people getting drunk, partying, all that shit. Yeah, they have, looking back at it, shit, I had a good time with that movie. I mean, I like the chemistry between Method Man and Rat Man because, them dudes are tight with each other. Dudes are always tight with each other. Now, here's the thing. I've been hearing a lot about, ever since, way back, people were talking about, it's going to get a sequel. It's going to be a sequel. There's been talks about this for so long, I'm starting to not give a shit anymore because, at this point, I don't think anybody cares. But now, they have to talk about this, there is going to be a How High 2. The thing is, Method Man Redman ain't in this shit. Matter of fact, they didn't even contact him for this. They said, no, I'm going to somebody else. And this, this is the thing all done from MTV Studios, apparently.
Because I guess every entertainment outlet needs their friggin', I at least get the existence of something like WWE Studios, but why MTV Studios? Come on!
Well, I mean, they have been around for a while. They've, under the name MTV Films, going back almost 20 years with, Jackass the Movie, Jackass Number 2, Varsity Blues, Jackass 3, that terrible live-action Aeon Flux movie.
Oh, shit. Jackass
Bad Grandpa,
Had to remind me that Aeon Flux happened.
If I had to know it happened, so does everyone else.
I blocked it out of my memory very specifically. You know what? I'm going to go back in time, tell him to tell young me to never start a podcast with a guy named Alex, because he will remind you that movie exists, and then we'll have to go to the bar again and drink the happy juice.
Fuck you too. That's all I got to say.
What did I do to deserve being reminded of Aeon Flux? Come on.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
But anyway, Do you know who two stars are in this movie? Well, I'll get to the big one in a bit, but one of them is, well, DC Young Fly, who you remember as being that one dude from Wild Now who kind of sounds like Chris Tucker. And, he's also part of that revamped TRL thing that, is that still canceled, or did that ever get canceled completely?
I don't know, and I don't care.
Okay, then, again, there's that. And the other star is Little Yachty.
Oh, your favorite.
You see what happens when Teen Titans Go to the movies had him in? This is a gateway for him to entering film. I hope you're all proud of yourselves.
And watching this trailer, you freaking this is the point. This shit looks terrible. This is like some standard direct to DVD or direct to TV sequel of something. So something where there's a cast of nowhere near to be found. Or it's like this, except more shittier. And the jokes are even more lamer.
That seems direct to TV is a compliment. This to me looks more like it's more like direct to YouTube. Like, it just feels like the same kind of like fucking onslaught of fucking visual nonsense, barely strung together with a plot, as something like, I don't know, Smosh the Movie. It makes me want to apologize to Teen Titans Go to the Movies. At least that movie actually had, like, a plot and something resembling actual jokes. But this is... Actually, okay, I said this earlier on Twitter, but I want you to think about this for a moment. Okay, so we all know all the, you know, really classic, you know, stoner comedies, right? You know, the Cheech and Chong, you know, entire filmography... stuff like the, you know, the Broken Lizard films, like Super Troopers and whatnot. Fucking even like Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, Half-Baked, that's a classic, Dazed and Confused. Shit, even fucking like, I don't know, Pineapple Express, that's probably like the great stoner comedy we got. So I'm looking at all this. And then I'm looking at this trailer. This feels like if the Seltzerberg duo tried to make a stoner movie same vein of Disaster Movie or Meet the Spartans. It's literally just that same onslaught of, again, just it's dumbass imagery, barely a story to string it all together. I couldn't even tell you what the story is. Or the plot based off the trailer. Something about a weed Bible, I guess. And they're surfing on, like, Rainbow Road from Mario Kart.
This sounds like American Pie direct-to-DVD levels of... screw it, just write anything.
You remind me of Seltzerberg. You remind me of Seltzerberg. I thought those dudes out of my head, like, forever since we ain't heard from them since... Well, forever. Let's keep it that way. But man, this shit is bad. This makes some original YouTube shit look good. Or I see Instagram skits done better than this. And I mean, Instagram skits, like, some are good, but this is just like one YouTube poop. Well, in this case, YouTube shit.
Yep. And the reason why I brought up Mark grabbing the link earlier was because, this trailer, it's unlisted on YouTube.
Yep.
I wonder why.
Let's check the like status. 113. Dislikes.
You know, it may not be as big as the Call of Duty ratio, but that's still a pretty bad ratio. Yikes. But, yeah, that frustrating mess aside, let's actually move on to our last story this week, something that is at least interesting in a positive way. So, you might remember that at some point this year, Mr. Childish Gambino is supposed to be releasing his final album under the moniker before retiring from music to, you know, presumably focus on other, you know, film projects and television projects and whatnot. And you might also remember that last November at his Pharos Festival in New Zealand, he debuted a trailer for a project called Guava Island, directed by collaborator Hiro Murai, filmed in Cuba, and co-stars Rihanna. Now, things have been pretty much quiet on the news front since then, until something secret happened. It looks like, so let's rack things up here. Okay, so first off, Crack Magazine reported that a Christian Springer, who apparently works as a cinematographer and even worked on Atlanta, had apparently put Guava Island on his resume, listing it as a visual album. Going up to that, you know, staying on top of that, in the past week or so, apparently Guava Island advertisements, and there's, like, legit ads and everything, have been popping up here and there on Spotify, primarily on the Rap Caviar playlist. I wouldn't know, because again, I pay for Spotify, for reasons. All the ads have listed, labeled alongside them, Saturday night, April 13th. Now, you might know that that is, of course, this weekend. And also keep in mind, this weekend is the first weekend of Coachella, of which Mr. Gambino was set to perform. But he's performing on April 12th, with the big headliner for April 13th being Tame Impala. So, yeah, all of these leaks and news have been building up, and actually today it was officially confirmed that, okay, at least on Coachella, because they recently started doing, like, live YouTube streams of their concert sets, apparently Guava Island will actually be streaming through the Coachella YouTube channel, whatever it actually is, because, you know, there's every bit it could be both, like, I don't know how long a visual album usually is, like, compared to its actual musical components, because, truth be told, the only visual album I'm aware of is that Frank Ocean one that he did back in 2016.
Well, there was also Beyonce's Lemonade, but that was radio, so I don't know if you want to count that as a visual album or a movie or whatever.
Yeah, that too, we could count that too, although I haven't actually, you know, seen either of those firsthand, at least not yet anyway. So, it's hard to tell how, this is actually going to play out. Like, is it actually a proper visual album? Is it going to be, like, you know, a full movie with some musical sequences peppered in? And then I guess the soundtrack eventually gets released somewhere, or... Actually, now that I think about it, is the Guava Island stream, since it's going up on Coachella's live stream, is that something that's going to be free to watch, at least... You know, if you're watching live, or are they gonna, like, throw it up behind a paywall or something?
Well, if it's through YouTube, and that's usually always been free whenever they do it for Coachella. I mean, that's how I saw Beyonce's performance at Coachella that one year.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So, whatever this is, I'm going to have to find a way to get a screen in front of me whenever this scheduled stream happens.
Yeah, ditto. At least I need to be reminded mm-hmm. of that because I forget easily, and sometimes when I go to these Coachella fees, I want to make sure I want to see, you know, the person I actually want to see, because I don't want to wait. I want to just wait and watch something I don't like. I just, you know, that shit. Yeah.
Check the schedule on that. Although I'm curious at this point, like, if the content of the movie dictates the style of the music, because when you think about, you know, the Childish Gambino career path, like, through his albums and whatnot, you know, his first one felt like, you know, sort of a kind of straightforward, kind of true to his dork-ass self kind of album, and then because the internet came out and it kind of felt like he was adopting this more, like, sarcastic, snarky demeanor in a way that almost kind of feels like a toned-down Odd Future in retrospect. And then you have Awaken My Love going full, you know, soul, funk, and R&B. where could he go with this? I mean, it's already the presentation being the main form of, you know, the main form of how it's differentiating its presentation from the previous albums. But the musical content itself is, you know, still a big question mark. Obviously, there's got to be no This Is America here, so we can rule out a trap sound.
Right.
Or maybe, I mean, not. Since, who knows? This,
yeah. I mean, I will say, since Rihanna's on there, maybe you got something to work, maybe some ways to sound weird to her, but I don't know about that. I mean, they said they rule out something. They said they rule out something with him and her and Kevin Parker, you know, a team of problem. I mean, so because that's how, I mean, who knows what happened? I mean, who knows? He might be some, might be some a vaporwave album or some shit.
Vaporwave. But yeah, we'll of course keep an eye out on that, and we shall see how that goes. I mean, of course, I'm probably gonna be up at like 5:30 a.m. that day, you know, getting in a line to buy some records. Hey, it's record day. It's record day this weekend, right?
Yes, it is. And I won't be there because I don't have any money. Well.
Is what it is. Anyway, now that all that's out of the way, time to move on to the last bit of discussion here, the last bit of business, and that is the new album releases for April 12th, 2019. Starting right up at the top, we have the newest solo album from Andy Biersack with The Ghost of Ohio. Because I guess he warrants solo releases. Solo release my ass. Anyway, as previously mentioned, Broken Social Scene are coming up with a new EP called Let's Try the After Volume 2. We got a new project from the Chemical Brothers with No Geography. The aforementioned Anderson .Paak with Ventura. We got a new project from Nora Jones with Begin Again. And last but certainly not least, our K-pop overlords BTS will be ruling over the planet once again with their newest album, Map of the Soul Persona. Which, wait, is that the secret Persona 5 project that's been leaking through the news? You never saw it coming. Anyway, now that that's out of the way, time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So Alex, where could they find you on the internet?
The name, as always, is Aura of Azure, where hopefully in the next couple of days I'll be back to work and making that money because, my bank account's looking kind of thin. So, either cross your fingers for me or give me money. I'll take either at this point.
Mark, what about you?
As usual, on Twitter, MacTavidMedia, and on my site, MindHabitOne at thehabitone.wordpress.com. As you see, every Saturday, I'll be posting a new episode or story of my new story, Trap Game, The Dangerous World, which episode 1 is up right now. You should read that.
Yes. Anyway, and as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, CuriousCat, at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video highlights usually go up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution. Just subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're always notified whenever new material goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Surreal Rezo. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website, SurrealResolution.com, where you can find all of our written content and our podcasting content. All of that good stuff in a nice, convenient package. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat as well if you would like to, you know, do whatever it is we do down there. It kind of changes on a whim sometimes. And of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Thank you for joining us this week. We'll of course be back for the album roundup, you know, again this week as well. So until next time, seriously, why MTV? Why? What?